here today. Luckily for us, the commissioner of the Sun Belt speaking right now, Carl Benson, joining us here. Appreciate you having us in town and in your office. It was nice of you guys to make some space for us today, so thanks for having us.
Well, you're the first live broadcast from the new Sun Belt offices here in the Mercedes-Benz Louisiana Superdome, and so we moved into these offices about 2 weeks ago and had the media day yesterday, which is a huge success and one that we are very, very proud of and glad we can accommodate you today.
Yeah, well, yesterday was great, and like I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I mean, when you get, you know, some of the success you all had last year, and you couple that with being in a great city and you hosted an event like that, it was first class all the way. You had ESPN in. I mean, you got sports writers and broadcasters like myself from all over the place in the region. And again, as you expand the footprint, you got more and more media members that are going to draw interest here. So it was a lot of fun yesterday.
It was a big crowd, and historically the Sun Belt shifted away from a live media day several years ago, kind of during the economic crunch when media members were concerned about the cost of travel and institutions were concerned. And so for cost-cutting savings, Sun Belt eliminated it and brought it back last year. And the coaches and the media appreciated it. And we had a chance to move it into the Dome this year. So it was a proud moment for me yesterday to see such a successful event.
Well, you know, it really stood out to me yesterday. I had a chance to visit with some of the coaches. Some we were familiar with, some not as much. Coach Hudspeth spent some time with us yesterday. I didn't realize he had so many Arkansas ties. Had coached at UCA and a coach against UCA, too, when he was at North Alabama, I guess, before he ended up where he is now at the University of Louisiana. But, you know, a lot of great ties there. And, of course, everybody in Arkansas familiar with the Petrinos and, you know, of course, their success and now settling in here in the Sun Belt. So it was good to get them on as well. But, I mean, the bottom line is got a lot of great football coaches in this conference.
We really do, and there's a veteran in Larry Blakeney that's kind of the dean and the senior statesman of the coaches, but then some really, really good young coaches. And I think that my path crossed with Brian Harsin back when he was at Boise State and I was the commissioner of the Western Athletic Conference, and we share a common diploma and that we're both Boise State alums, so it's nice to see Brian. I think he's going to be just absolutely stellar for Arkansas State. I think they made the right choice, and hopefully, Brian will make the commitment, and I think that he's prepared to be there a little longer than the two previous coaches.
Yeah, I think that's probably a safe bet, and I think we're all hoping for that. We did talk a little bit yesterday about your guys' shared commonality with the Boise State tie. He's hoping, I think, that that'll lead to a call or two on Saturday, but I think he understands that that's probably not going to happen. But we had some fun with that yesterday. But, yeah, I think he's going to do great. It was actually the first time I've had a chance to sit down and talk to him and also visit with their athletic director, Terry Mohajer, and I know they're both really excited to get going here. We talked about the four bowl games last year for the conference and including right here in New Orleans. And, of course, Louisiana's had great success here the last couple of years, great attendance as well. And I think really all the schools, their fan base is excited to have an opportunity to play in the postseason. Four appearances last year, and now there's the talk of adding a Rice Bowl for next season. What's your best hope? I mean, is this something you think that this league can keep up as far as having multiple teams like that going to bowl games every year?
Well, I think our history will show that as we get better and as we get deeper and as programs become more mature, that to win six or seven games is going to be likely. We're also talking, in fact, we have AD meetings this morning, talking about, scheduling and strategic scheduling and how to give our teams the best chance to get to the postseason, whether it's in the higher level or whether it's the, six or seven wins. And we definitely are in the bowl business looking for either bowls that are existing bowls that may be looking for new arrangements beginning next year, or the conversation that we've had in Little Rock now with the corporate community and the media group in Little Rock that has just expressed.
Player safety all the way through, like we're talking about scheduling and things like that. You guys are really covering a pretty wide gamut today.
It is, and it's all sports as well as, we're tournament to New Orleans last year after the 5 years in Hot Springs, which we certainly appreciated the hospitality and the commitment of the city of Hot Springs. But, I think it's one of those situations where We had an opportunity to bring it a little bit more geographically located. We also wanted to try to make presence here in New Orleans, and to bring our premier event here was a priority. So we've got a lot of planning to do with that too. So there's a lot of work ahead on for next March.
Right. Carl Benson, Sun Belt Conference Commissioner, joining us in the zone here at the Sun Belt Conference offices in New Orleans. Speaking of that and the basketball, the format is set, though. And so I guess it's going to be six men's teams, six women's teams with varying amounts of buys depending on your conference finish. Is that right?
Well, it's actually eight men's and eight women's.
Okay, eight and eight. Okay.
With a model where the number one and number two seeds are protected into the semifinals. And that's only on the men's side. The women will have the traditional one plays eight, two plays seven, and down the ladder. But the men are experimenting with this year in a hope of making sure that our best team advances into the NCAA tournament. And unfortunately, the Sun Belt has a history of the number one seed, the regular season champion, getting knocked out. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, the likelihood of that team not getting in at large. So we're not sending our best team to the NCAA tournament. And so that's the purpose. There's been several conferences around the country that have gone with that model. And, the coaches think that there should be some reward for what you do regular season. And so these first round buys to number one and two is a reward for their regular season.
Yeah, from a scheduling standpoint, we're talking about football today. But, I mean, from a basketball standpoint, is there encouragement in that direction as far as trying to help RPI and maybe hoping to get multiple teams in, whether it's two or more?
Yeah, and that's another outcome is that, the number one team in the traditional where they would play number eight, that they'll be playing a higher-ranked team in their first-round game more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
So that hopefully will guard a little bit against even a good win that can force down the RPI. But it'll be a little difficult to track on the bracket.
Yeah, it's the RPI formula, and for fans in Arkansas, whether you're talking about UALR, ASU, or the University of Arkansas, it's been a bit of a conundrum, and it seems like the RPI doesn't typically bounce the way of the team we're rooting for. But it's a hard one to figure. We talk a lot about the BCS formula, but goodness gracious, the RPI basketball is a hard one to figure out sometimes as well. So, I think Terry Mahajer put it great yesterday talking to me about it, and we played that interview this morning. But bottom line for them is their mentality is win the league and win the conference tournament and you're all set. So then there's
no question. You can guarantee your future if you do that.
Well, it was nice last year, of course, with Middle Tennessee and the great work they did during the regular season, mm-hmm. seeing them, get a spot as well. But what about some of the other sports? And this is something else I talked to Terry about is we don't talk a lot about the non-revenue sports. And again, as you expand that geographic footprint, it does put more of a strain from a budget standpoint on things like tennis and golf and other sports that don't create revenue. How does a league handle that, or what do you all look at, or how do you help with scheduling maybe to try to facilitate some of the budget there?
Well, and that's it's somewhat of a, the common fan and some of the media don't understand that tennis and golfs and track and fields don't play regular season. They just combine at the end of the season to have their tournament.
Conference meet at all.
Yeah, okay. So there's not that much regular season competition unless it's close by.
Mm-hmm.
So Arkansas State or UALR, tennis, isn't traveling to Atlanta to play Georgia State.
Right.
But so that's and then, in the other sports that do have what we refer to as round robin or a full schedule, the men's and women's basketball, the volleyballs, the baseball, softballs, soccer. What we've tried to create is two divisions. We're not quite there, but when you look at the Western division that we have in all those sports with UALR and Arkansas State and UL Lafayette and UL Monroe, Texas State and UT Arlington, those six teams, make up the Western division of the Sun Belt. And so we've tried to minimize the travel there going east by focusing on the divisional play. And so it is it's both a cost issue and it's an academic issue to try to keep kids on buses and in their own beds as often as we can.
Yeah, well, July 1st, we talked to you, I guess, last week about this a little bit, but you had some teams transition out and transition in officially now. There's already some more change scheduled for the next season or two. Do you anticipate anything else changing? I mean, are you looking for additional, you know, participants, especially? I mean, we always talk about football first, but are you looking for additional participants?
Well, last spring when we added Appalachian State and Georgia Southern that come in next year as full members, and we added Idaho and New Mexico State who come in as football-only members, and again, fans have to realize that football scheduling and football travel is, you know, generally you're going to get on a plane regardless, and you only do it every other year, so that's not as big an issue as it might think that, you know, that Arkansas State's going to be, you know, going to Moscow, Idaho. But but we did try to get to 12 teams. And Western Kentucky, after we announced that, Western Kentucky made their announcement that they were leaving for Conference USA next year. Mm-hmm. So that put us back to an uneven number for both football and our other sports. So we want to get to 12 so that we can have a football championship game, but also so that we can have those two distinct 16 divisions. The Eastern Division next year will only be five in the other sports, and it's Troy and South Alabama, Georgia State, Georgia Southern, and Appalachian State. So we still need a team kind of in that footprint.
Yeah. So how do you go about that?
Well, we've had a half a dozen current FCS teams approach the Sun Belt, and we've done our evaluation and have felt at this juncture there just isn't the right team that we want to go with, and so we'll probably wait another 6, 8, 10 months and start the process again next year to see if, you know, if there is a team that makes enough sense. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day on one of your competitors, I think it was Jay Walker down in Lafayette, you know, what do we look for? And I said it's a balance of, you know, academic characteristics and athletic characteristics and, you know, financial lookalikes. And, you know, college presidents want to align and associate with other universities that look like them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, that's one of the key kind of determinators and that we evaluate.
Mm-hmm. And just to reiterate on the Rice Bowl again, you still confident it's here next year? I mean, is this something?
I am optimistic. You know, yeah. There's been a lot of work done. You know, we're talking with some other bowls, prospective bowls right now. We're talking to some existing bowls. So it's probably going to be another 30, 60 days before, you know, before any final decisions are made. In the meantime, I know that there's at least one television entity that is evaluating the potential Rice Bowl, and they're very interested. They haven't come up with the proposal yet, but that's probably the next step, Justin, is that we need to know who the television partner is, what it pays. Potential title sponsor needs to know that before they are ready to, you know, to commit and,
right,
and sign. So that's just a little bit of the behind-the-scenes work that needs to get done before any type of final decision is made.
We didn't get into it too deeply, but, again, the TV schedule announced yesterday as well for the Sun Belt, and you got a lot of games coming up on television as well. From your standpoint, you know, talking about where you are with that, maybe where you want to be, if there's a goal in mind from a television standpoint, everybody knows it's such a huge, not only a huge thing for, you know, the identity of your league, but also from a revenue standpoint, could be a great boon.
Right, and our revenue piece is not where we want it or need it to be, but unfortunately that, you know, that's dictated by, you know, by, you know, contract, and ESPN isn't going to pay us any more money than they have to, mm-hmm, regardless of, you know, of the success we're having. So it'll take several years of success. It'll take a team that will, and you know, I hate to always use the example of Boise State, but it'll take a Boise State-like team to get, you know, ESPN to say, okay, let's extend it again now with, you know, under these terms. But the exposure that we're getting right now from ESPN is just as valuable as the revenue. And the number of games, especially on the football side, you know, on ESPN, on one of their platforms, and, you know, the general public is becoming more and more used to, you know, to ESPN News for a vehicle that's, you know, that's going to be carrying college football, ESPN3, and the, you know, the online ESPN vehicle that, mm-hmm, I think we're reaching a new audience via online, and I think it's an audience that's a younger audience, and it's hopefully it will will establish a bigger or larger, you know, college football fan base at all of our member institutions.
So back to meetings this afternoon for you?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yep. But yesterday was great, and these meetings are productive. And it's the first time that we've had, you know, there's a lot of new faces around
right.
the table. In fact, I mean, Terry's just barely into his, you know, his first year. So, Appalachian State, Georgia Southern, you know, New Mexico State, Idaho athletic directors are around the table. So we're getting to know each other.
That's good. Well, I appreciate you making some time for us today. And thanks again for letting us utilize your offices today. And thanks for letting us be part of yesterday. It was a lot of fun.
Well, great. And we'll look forward to you coming back and look forward to you coming down here for the basketball tournament in March and perhaps the Red Wolves here in December for the RNL Carrier New Orleans Bowl.
Yeah. Got to take care of our sponsors there. And you got to work in Mercedes-Benz every time we
that's
mention
right.
the Superdome now, too. I appreciate that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
You bet,
appreciate
Justin.
It. All right. That's Carl Benson, the commissioner here for the Sun Belt Conference. And they've been great hosts for us the last couple of days. We appreciate them very much. Let's go ahead and take a time out a little bit earlier, Matt. When we come back, we'll talk some entertainment. Also, have some friends coming in from the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Let you know what else is going on around New Orleans a little bit later on this summer, as well as on into the fall. If I were you, I would snap it up right now because we got some great hotel rates right now. If you want to come down and have a couple of days in the Big Easy and eat some oysters and have a couple of beignets. We'll be back. It's 12:23. You're in the zone. Buzz Radio.